action. So, my recommendation would be to reinsert the professional. So at least we'll have a handle on the people we're addressing this issue to. Do you have any comments?
Fritz? No, Mr. Chairman.
You recall there was also the prior committee substitute dealt with a report that they were also supposed to make at the time that they, which was deleted. All right. Committee substitute at your request. So that's where we are. I'd like to. There's another referral to this bill's finance under the Venice committee, so I would entertain some type of a motion, whatever the committee decides.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we adopt the second committee substitute, reinserting the word professional on, I believe, line 11.
Questions?
We'd ask unanimous consent of the committee.
Any objection?
If there's no objection, then, Mr. Chairman, I would move you that we pass House Bill, committee substitute for House Bill 62 from committee with individual recommendations to the Finance Committee.
Any objections? Carried. Next bill is Senate Bill 6. House Bill 6. Bill 7, which is an act relating to motor vehicles. Do I have a sign up for this bill? There is. Gentlemen, the bill is not before us in its amended version. I think we can deal with a portion that you had worked with this morning. We can, I think we can testify on that. We can hear the suggested changes by the representative from California, right? Mike, do you have an amendment to go on the bill?
We have made a bill file, though they're not, the citations aren't according to this, yes, it's going to come across.
Okay.
It's actually to the latest bill.
Okay. have that. Okay, we have a committee substitute 286 in our file, which deals with a portion of the vehicle bill. Under 286. Okay, good. Denise, would you like to run us through this bill once more? There's been some suggested amendments.
Mr. Chairman, I've got a couple of work drafts in my file.
It is, we're working on
617.
617, right. And this here are the amendments we're going to discuss with relation to this particular substitute.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Denise Zachary. I work for Representative Mike Miller, and I'm here representing him on behalf of this bill. We've had some amendments subsequent to the amendments that we offered at the last committee meeting. These have been worked on this morning with Jim Austin from the automobile industry, and perhaps he would like to join me at the table.
Jim, would you like to join us, please, and give us your name and who you're representing?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members, my name is Jim Austin. I represent the Motor Vehicle Manufacturers Association from California and represent the Pacific Coast states for the primarily the domestic industry, domestic manufacturers.
Thank you.
Most of the amendments that are offered, dated 6/21, amendments to Senate Bill 286, are self-explanatory. They're cleanup amendments. Amendment 1 just allows the manufacturers to have the vehicle reported non-conformity in writing, and I think that's an understandable amendment. The main complaint of manufacturers is basically repair shops or dealers are doing repairs that the manufacturer doesn't know about. So this, before the four attempts have been made to conform the motor vehicle, this just protects us. Amendment 2 inserts market on line 23, same page. Market value of a motor vehicle, basically a cleanup amendment, I think, was self-explanatory. Amendment 3 needs a little explanation. Line 25, same page, deleted and sort of rewrote the sentence. New sentence would read, or distributor shall accept the return of defective motor vehicle and shall, at its option, replace the motor vehicle with a comparable new motor vehicle. This would give the manufacturer a choice of giving a new vehicle or giving money back guarantee, whereas before it was the consumer's or owner's choice. Basically, it made no difference to our office at whose choice this was going to be. I think after talking to Mr. Austin this morning, it would probably be that the consumer was so mad and so disgusted that he would want his money back regardless because he was totally fed up with that manufacturer and dealer. And I think that was the manufacturer's thing too, is that he wanted to keep that consumer happy. So you would probably give money back.
Do you want to read that, Mr. Chairman? Do you want to read the
context, please?
New context would be, or distributor shall accept the return of defective motor vehicle and shall, at its option, replace the motor vehicle. Okay, one line down, we added the word comparable, a new comparable motor vehicle. There may be times on the lot where the customer needs a vehicle right away. There's not time one to ship one in. He may want a different car instead of the same brand of car, but it would be a new and comparable vehicle. Same line, Amendment 5, insert the word full after refund the. We added this language. Basically, full would cover license plates covering processing fees of the application, registration fees, so that would be the full purchase price. It would not just be the cost of the car. There's always processing.
The full refund?
Right. Full purchase price.
Is that a suggestion of yours?
Yes, Senator.
So So it would read, or refund the full purchase price to the owner. Okay, next line down, Amendment 7. Including all collateral charges, insert less a reasonable allowance for consumer's use of the vehicle. This was also a manufacturer's amendment that they wanted offered. I did define reasonable allowance to protect the consumer. Amendment 13. Amendment 7, again, clean up market value instead of just value. Amendment 8, we put in, it was kind of a joint decision. We had a complaint from a Kodiak dealer who shipped parts out, and he was concerned that maybe the warranty work was not being done right. He was trying to comply with the warranty and give the customer the parts to ship in. If it wasn't done right, well, then he was being held compliant. So adding this language, or any other party that is not an official representative of the manufacturer, distributor, agent, or dealer. Meaning the manufacturer or dealer was not unreasonable and neglect or...
Would you read that one again, please?
It would read, is the result of abuse, unreasonable neglect, or unauthorized modification or alteration of the motor vehicle by the owner or any other party that is not official representative of the manufacturer, distributor, agent, or dealer. Page 3, line 13. Some cleanup language here. I had concern over this since there never have been written agreements between an independent repair facility and a manufacturer. New sentence would read, or distributor to reimburse the facility for all provisions that are provided for a written independent service contract. We're deleting the warranty service and repairs, diagnostic calls, telephone expenses, and shipping costs. Amendment 10, again, added word there, substantially complies. Amendment 11, same page. Regarding the dispute settlement procedures, line 26, adding language after dispute settlement procedure, period. Action for filing complaint should be commenced during the express warranty or 12 months thereafter. We didn't know this 12 months was an arbitrary figure. We didn't know what to use here. Basically, what this means is if the person does not file an express warranty complaint using the federal Magnuson-Moss Act, he would have 1 year later to still file a complaint with them if he did not get this. Problems resolved from having his left car. Amendment 12, again inserting market so that it's consistent with the rest of the bill in the definition section, substantially impairs use and market value. And then Amendment 13, once again defining reasonable allowance. We have an additional amendment at this time. We've been going around. Amendment 14 would be on page 4, line 3. There's been some concern over whether commercial vehicles should be included in this. This act does take care of motorcycles, motorhomes, anything basically that is power-driven on highway use. My concern with taking commercial vehicles out of the bill is a lot of people depend on that as their sole source of economy. If we take these out, and like if I have a semi-truck and it's down with repairs, even though it is not a fault of my own and the repairs aren't being done, the warranties are not being done in a fast manner. Looking at other bills that have been passed around the country, they have been defining motor vehicles as passenger vehicles instead of commercial vehicles. And so a friendly amendment to offer there. line three would read, motor vehicle or vehicle means a motor vehicle as defined in AS 2835-260, that is, insert, purchased for personal, family, or household purposes, and is required to be registered under AS 2810.
And I was pretty sure she did.
That excludes the truck provisions?
That would exclude any heavy-duty trucks. Like, I think it is written in our statutes is anything over 10,000 pounds.
Does he address that?
This is standard, and when the bills were last year and previous year being debated in California, this was a concern that was eliminated early. The reason being, under Section 703 of the Federal Trade Commission, under which the third-party dispute mechanism is implemented, a consumer, the definition of a consumer good is a passenger car or motor vehicle designed for personal, family, or household use, of which commercial vehicles, heavy-duty trucks, and so forth come under a totally different warrant, a different classification of vehicles, and it's designed to direct at the consumer goods. And that's the reason that this has been a standard provision from one state to the other, because of the federal definition.
And in reviewing other bills.
Okay. Thank you very much. Would you care to offer any comments you would like on the bill, seeing you came from California to discuss it today?
Well, I appreciate Denise's cooperation, because when I found out the bill was beginning to move, the Senate bill was beginning to move, and knowing you people are trying to arrive at a rapid recess here, you never know what's going to happen at the end of the session. So I decided I'd take another trip to Alaska. As I indicated in a letter to Laura and subsequently to Denise, it's, you know, this issue is something that we haven't supported in the past and probably never will support. Voluntarily, we've implemented these types of programs across the country, and now basically they're in every state over the last several years. We are concerned that if in fact the state does want to take action and move on this type of legislation, and it seems to be after California and Connecticut passed it last year, it became a motherhood issue, and everybody's getting on the bandwagon, that it be consistent from one state to the other. Alaska has some unique circumstances that I doubt can be found in any other state. The size of it, and the lack of, or the few number of dealers and authorized representatives of the manufacturer. I really don't know what the reaction of our people is going to be, because I haven't had a chance to run this by them. I kind of hate to see the legislature move too rapidly, but if in fact that's what you're going to do, we hope that we have the elements in here that can make it workable, because, as I indicated to Denise, this is something that we have been doing for several years. It's not a new program that's being imposed on us. We've been doing it voluntarily, and we want to make sure that it doesn't, that language in a new bill doesn't create problems down the road, hopefully, if you do act on this, that it won't. Anybody have any questions in the audience?
Any questions for me? Well, we certainly appreciate you coming back to Alaska, and certainly appreciate your input into the bill. We're trying to put something together that will work and still not be offensive to your organization, or will still allow some protection to consumer in Alaska. The problem is the problems in Alaska are unique, as you will know, and it's very difficult to pattern any bill specifically after any other state because of the remoteness of this area we're dealing with. Thank you very much.
Thank
you.
Senator Taylor.
Bob
Danner,
sure
do.
Yeah, I'd be glad to. He's doing a good job in adverse circumstances.
Say hello to Senator Johnson from me, too, will you?
Ray?
Yeah.
Sure.
You're saying hello.
Anybody else?
No messages here.
I'm very keen. Very keen, also.
Sure.
Thank you.
So, what do you understand? You're from, you graduated from Chico.
Yes.
So, we're alumni.
Ah, very good.
Many times this winter, I wished I were back there.
Well, we have... could I get some expression of the will of the committee relative to those suggested amendments to the committee substitute?
I would move that we adopt the proposed amendments.
Any objections? Carried. So now at this point we have... committee substitute which is being drafted, we have a rough draft here to a portion of it, don't we?
The insurance portion.
We're going to try to put them together.
I have a question.
We'll put them together on the rainbow pills. What is that?
It's all in my notes.
Here? Okay. Bring some more amendments in today, Jeff?
There's some amendments, some of which they left out in one of the versions I had a quick chance to take a look at. Jay, that deals only with the insurance part.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They just adjourned?
Yes.
Oh.
To build.
Did they adjourn in a friendly manner?
I think so. I hope so. They did one building in Fairbanks, one building in Anchorage, and adjourned.
Nothing
wrong with that, huh? Yeah.
What about the Bush?
Bush is on 309 today. Dared to fly fast when I was there. Very few, they don't have any leads. They're all hitting each other, so.
One reads damages, you know, there's nothing to love with you. You got a certain amount of.
What do accidents they do have?
Usually people.
Family related somehow, right?
Pay their insurance.
It's not like you hit some driver you've never seen before in your life and it's gone.
The money that goes in to pay for these accidents.
I don't think they have any, I'm not aware of any two car accidents they've had. I'm not aware of any collisions, those types of things. Be hit by something else. And to be quite frank, it enjoys it. But do you hit them because they're the same way? They're just fender bumpers. They're fender benders. You've got these areas, sir. It's amazing, it's not like actually a lot. The state was good. Of course, there's another way I'd like to go on this bill, too. Yeah. Just take those three provisions that are supported by the administration, put them in the bill, and drop the mandatory part out. There were some expressions in the judiciary committee yesterday about mandatory insurance bills. If I haven't been asking anyone who supports it, who supports mandatory insurance, but there's a lot of resistance for it. I just think that.
Hope you didn't say
Have you had a chance to see the bill? Is your problem covered?
Yes, page 6. That's why it's my link.
Okay, that's
one good part of the bit.
We did, right. Is that John?
So seldom is there delivery. It's frustrating, but other than doing it.
They're put back in. See, it's written such a way that that's an exemption from the exemption.
Exclude the communities in southeastern that are connected by the green transport system that are, you know, that aren't one of those named communities, because those are the only communities that have an excess of about 1,000 people. So it doesn't specifically exempt Bethel or Cosby. The way they get exempted is in the earlier part of the bill under the existing law in connection with the state highway system. Well, not necessarily.
We don't. No, like Cotswold doesn't. I don't think Bethel's connected to any state highway system. I don't. No, if you're not connected to a state highway, see, we have a state-maintained road, and there's some discussion as to whether that's, if it's since the state-maintained road, if it's not then a state highway. Well, we'll say fine. It's not connected to the state road system.
Do you have Department of Transportation?
No. Okay, we should get Bates over here, because that's not what he told us during the summer.
Yeah, see, but that's between the department and you guys. As long as we don't change existing law, we're not really treading on anybody's toes.
No, as long as we don't.
Right. And we're not doing that as long as we adapt your provision. Right?
Yeah, it makes it clear, because the department's coming in now. saying, well, they may have the authority to do it. Well, it's already exempted, so given the authority that they may, they are in fact going to go out and do it. That's what we don't want. That's what we've had the exemption for years.
But the way our bill is written, it doesn't change the existing law.
We have to get it. Yes, it does. I'll get it in the department. Yes.
Okay.
His amendment is...
His what?
It's a technical thing that makes a lot of difference with us.
Okay. Jeff, would you come walk us through what we have here? See if we can make a little bit of sense out of it.
For the record, assuming you're recording, my name is Jeff Davis. Listen to the speaker for this time spot for the bill. Since your last meeting, we've drafted a number of amendments, most of which are incorporated into the proposed CS before you as it relates to insurance, and I've submitted a few more today on that CS. The basic additions, there's some technical additions. The one by DMV, which wanted mobile homes defined by regulations incorporated. The one that allows the person to come in after being cited for no insurance and show proof of insurance prior to the court appearance specified on the citation. We incorporated that at DMV. A couple proposed by Senator Josephson has also been included to specify that if a license is suspended, that the period where the license would be restricted to no limited license privileges is only during the minimum suspension period. That way they could be granted normal license period, limited license privileges following the minimum suspension. So if it's a 90-day suspension, the judge could restrict the license for just 30 days if he wanted to. That would be left at the judge's discretion.
Where is that reference?
Let's see. If you're on page 17, there is also a change on line 23. For a first offense, it used to read suspension of the license would be for a period no more than 30 days. That allowed them to give zero. We added a minimum of 10 days in here so they could suspend it for 10 days. And that allows so the judge has some guideline there. Page 18, line 1 and 2 was the change I was just referring to. For the second offense, conviction of a second offense, the license is suspended for not less than 30 days, no more than 90 days, with no limited license privileges during the minimum period of suspension. That's just to clarify, if it's suspended for that minimum 30 days, there are no limited license privileges. If it's suspended for 60, they could go 30 and 30. Several places in the bill, the way you can prove proof of financial responsibility is by showing evidence of a motor vehicle liability policy or a certificate of self-insurance. We've also added the deposit of cash securities or bond of a sufficient nature to be comparable to that liability policy, and that is somewhat of an oversight. Nobody's ever mentioned it, but it's allowed for the financial responsibility, that deposit of a cash or bond. So we felt to be consistent, we probably better include it here. So now you have three ways to show proof of financial responsibility. The major change, Mr. Motley's changes, he said, I assume it's here on page 6. Okay. This exemption is also the one that deals with the smaller communities specifically connected by the Alaska Marine Highway System, and by virtue of that, they're connected to the state highway system. This allows an exemption from having to show proof of insurance at the time a vehicle is registered, and thus being subject to any penalties. If the owner or the person registering the vehicle will sign us an affidavit attesting to the fact that the motor vehicle will be operated and garaged outside of the state, which solves Mr. Motley's problem, or that the motor vehicle will be operated only in communities which are accessible to the, which may contain vehicular roadways which become accessible to the connected state highway system only by virtue of on that marine highway system, with the exception of these communities, which are largest in population, where you really would want to have somebody insured, as you mentioned, in Sitka or Juneau and some of the other places.
Would you, that is my understanding, in as much as that there is also an exemption provided for those communities, similar communities that are west or north and west of Fairbanks and Anchorage.
According to, and I'm going on John Bates at DOT working with us on this, because I asked for a definition of a connected state highway system. What he told me is anything north and west of Fairbanks, you're not connected to the Glen Highway, the Parks Highway, you know, you can't be on one of those roads, you're stuck in those communities. By that, you're not driving on the connected state highway system. This bill relates only to those vehicles which have to show proof of registration, and if you're not driving on vehicular ways connected to the state highway system, you don't have to register the vehicle.
And hence
according
that,
to the definition.
Okay, that's the rationale for addressing the same similar communities in southeastern who happen to be
connected to the state highway system via the Alaska Marine Highway System. If they aren't connected to the state highway system, then they're not connected to the.
First, I did. I guess
I thought you got a very system.
Don't give me any ideas.
If it's not, if we've made a
I don't mind it if you want to run it up. And how do you come up with Unalaska?
Okay, somebody mentioned those two when we were putting these together. If they aren't, then they, you know,
Unalaska is ferry go out once or twice a year.
Okay, that was.
That's the connection.
See, that's where we
I don't even know that there's an insurance agent.
Well, they wouldn't even get the insurance budgets.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's the problem. See, if you've got a ferry that goes out there once a month, then that's a unique problem we're stuck with here. And we felt that this address that I talked to the legal, the people who helped draft this just before the meeting, and they were, you know, fairly pleased with it. They accomplished the goal that we're trying to accomplish. They spoke to the guy who drafted it.
Mr. Speaker, or Mr. Chairman?
Yes, yes.
Jeff, is this section here on page 6, line 23, and on down, is that the only portion of the bill which exempts vehicles that are in remote areas? Is there another section?
No, there's current law now that defines a vehicle, exempts a vehicle from registration if it's not driven on roadways which are connected to the, which are part of the connected state highway system.
Okay.
And by virtue of that, if you're exempt by there, you're exempt from having to prove the registration. I mean, from having proof of insurance at the time of registration. That problem, like I said before, this problem came up 3 years ago, and they had the same problem with the bill. And the Division of Insurance, and as I somewhere here, I've got it, they testified to that provision at that time, and that seemed to satisfy most of the concerns, except I don't know if they ever addressed the concern of the marine highways at that time.
Mr. Chairman, I'd take exemption to tell him he had another last. That's for sure.
That's, you know, those areas much better than I do.
I take exception to clear. Yeah, but that's an exemption I have for the whole bill. The Dillingham isn't on the ferry service. Unalaska gets service twice a year, and you got 1,200 people out there.
I wasn't absolutely certain if the line would include that as the exemption.
Yeah.
That'd be fine with me to take it out of the bill. So obviously, the main problem that
we
the main problem of the bill itself
you
is the
a better way to do it.
What's that, Jeff?
The, you know, obviously the main problem that the backers of the bill want is those major highways and urban areas, and we've really been trying to find a way to deal with that and still be fair with the communities you're concerned about. And we proposed 3 or 4 different amendments tonight. So it has been an honest attempt to try and get to what you're concerned about.
We appreciate that, and you have a ran these specific, what we're trying to do by the speaker?
Yes, I have.
And he more or less concurs with what we're trying to do?
He does. He says that the committee would accept that he would have no objections to what we're proposing to do. This other small page of amendments are a couple things that were left out in the amendments that we offered to the committee. The exemption is Section C of the registration section. You'll see a couple on there that says add or C after B. That's just to tie in that exemption to make sure it's understood and can register your car under either of those. The first one, page 6, line 24, is just to make adding the word only before accessible to the Marine Highway System, just to absolutely clarify that's the intent behind the bill. Those communities only accessible. We've also allowed a provision that if a person does claim that exemption, they may be issued a special permit to transport the vehicle for repair, for rebuilding, without having to show proof of insurance, that the department can issue that permit so they could take it to an area normally required to have insurance, only if it's driven for that purpose. And if that purpose is violated, they're subject to the penalties that you would be subject to for doing something in opposition to that affidavit you attested to.
Questions?
Are you going to take any other testimony on this?
We're going to have to. This is not a delaying tactic. I'm not over enthused with the bill to start with. It's not a delaying tactic. It's an honest effort to pull these things together in one bill. As you well recognize, the problems we're having. What we have here, we've made some changes. As far as I'm concerned, we're not taking any more testimony on the women bill. I think that's about as good as we can get it now, the time we have left. And those changes are going to be incorporated in this. And these other amendments will be put in this here, and I'd like to have it done today in the final version. So the committee will meet, have a special meeting to handle it, and we'll hope there's no more changes. But we would accept testimony now on the bill and any portion that we have before us. But Jeff, do you have anything more to add?
Not unless there's questions. I'll answer questions now or later if they come up.
Okay, thank you very much. Do you have a amended copy there, right?
I did get a copy of the work draft, yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Mike Thomas, and I'm here for the American Insurance Association. I really don't have fully blown testimony because I am just reacting to the work draft that I've seen, but I wanted to raise a concern. As I understand the way 2810011C is now intended to work together with the rest of the mechanics of the bill, the bill does not require insurance as a condition of registration or licensure, obviously, for those who don't have to register. And as I understand the way the law is supposed to work, you don't have to register a vehicle if it is going to be used only in a community that is not served by the state road system. Now, I have been told that that is defined by DOT in turn as being a highway that they service, that they maintain. And so there are a lot of unconnected communities that have state roads in them where there is a registration requirement, contrary to what I thought I heard a little earlier before. Now, you know, that isn't my personal knowledge I'm testifying to, but that has been my understanding. I think that the legislature should be clear on where this requirement is being imposed and where it isn't. Then, if you turn to C, we are saying that communities that are connected to the state highway system because they are served by ferries, but are not listed here specifically in the capital letter subsections, are exempted. So, for example, Minto and Manly Hot Springs are not exempted. Cape Co-op, Heidelberg are, I guess. I haven't done legal research on this question, and I know that Dick Folta is the one that did the draft, and I know there have been other attorneys that have looked at it, but to me, that raises a fairly substantial question of equal protection. I live in a small community. I don't have much money. I have a certain occupation. I'm just like a guy that lives in another small community, same circumstances. But for me to drive a car, I've got to go out and spend, you know, several hundred extra dollars. For him, he doesn't. Put another way, I drive my car. I've got insurance. In a community like that, and I get hit by somebody who's uninsured and he didn't have to be insured. It seems to me that you are raising equal protection problems there. And I understand from whence the amendment comes. It is a real concern for the people in isolated communities. But it doesn't seem to me that on personal reaction, that it's really been addressed in a way that would stand scrutiny if there were attacked.
I just want to voice that since I know you're on a short fuse with this bill and then want to proceed with it.
Are there any questions? We will,
Mr. Chairman, just a question.
Sir.
We've got this one version here that just deals with the uninsured part of it.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Bill Brown from Motor Vehicles Public Safety. And I
could you answer some of the right, Senator?
Well, go ahead.
Go ahead, sit down. We'll go ahead.
Go ahead.
Again, I'm Bill Brown from the Division of Motor Vehicles Public Safety. And several years back, to my knowledge, and I don't have anything before me, the state troopers asked for information from the Department of Transportation as far as defining the statute of the state's vehicles are exempt from registration, which are driven or moved on a highway or vehicular way not connected to the state highway system established under AS 1910020. The Department of Transportation advised at that time that if it was a state-maintained roadway, then they felt that it was part of the state highway system, and therefore we could require that them vehicles be registered, or the troopers could require that they be registered. If it's interpreted the other way, that it has to be physically connected, then we would be exempting Nome and Bethel and Kotzebue and them type of communities from vehicle registrations, as well as the mandatory insurance. That's, you know, basically if the interpretation is going to be that all them locations are exempt from insurance, then it's you're making the same interpretation, or somebody somewhere will have to make the interpretation they're also exempt from registration. So if you have any questions on that, I could try to answer.
At the present time, they're not?
At the present time, they are not exempt from registration.
Under the interpretation of the DOT?
Yes.
Do we have testimony opposite that?
Yes.
By DOT?
No, it was from Mr. Day. As an interpreter, from information provided to him by DOT.
By DOT? Do you have that in the memo form?
Isn't that Mike Scott testified to that?
Yes, sir.
But let me get
this right.
Let me get it clear. You're saying that at this point in time, it's the interpretation that that if I own a vehicle in Bethel, I'd have to register that vehicle because it's using the state highway.
Yes.
And you're saying that according to this bill, that then you wouldn't have to register. So all vehicles in Bethel or Nome or Kotzebue would then not be subject to registration. They would also not be subject to being falling under this act of uninsured motorist or mandatory insurance, but it wouldn't be one or the other.
Mr. Chairman, not necessarily this bill does that. It's the interpretation that was given to you in regards to AS 2810011. The interpretation was given that if you're exempt from registration, you're exempt from insurance, and if you live in a community that's not connected, physically connected, to the highway between Homer and Fairbanks, then you're exempt from registration and therefore exempt from insurance.
I don't know that more confused than I was before. And I'm not being facetious.
Sure, definitely. It's just the idea that like one opinion from DOT says these vehicles are exempt from registration. And I know several years back, Public Safety got an opinion from that they were part of the state highway system.
Can we define the state highway system in this bill? Seems like, you know, I would be quite simple, wouldn't it, from you said from Walmart to Fairbanks.
Mr. Chairman, there are several different purposes. There are for insurance purposes, for federal highway trust money sharing purposes, for maintenance purposes, for construction purposes. It may be difficult to have one definition. It may be possible, however, to have a definition for purposes of liability.
I'm sure the bill could probably define which specific areas have to carry insurance, such as has been done with the ferry system.
Mr. Chairman, I think it'd be an appropriate question, given the concern that Mr. Thomas raised, for our legislative council to take a look at, because certainly you know, would have some difficulties with the whole bill as well as with the specific bill if we didn't take a look at it as quickly as possible.
Could we just add a subsection that states that if your car is driven in a community that is not physically connected by road to the state road system, that you're exempt?
However, then we're into
what is the state road system?
What is the state road system? Egan Drive is Highway 3 or something. But as far as I know, there's, I don't know. Got an answer to that? We certainly don't want to exempt this community or Ketchikan Pacific. In fact, we're one of the only that type of program because those aren't the areas we're looking into. We're looking at small villages with qualified to the purpose of junkers. So how do we get to there from here? Any further questions? Thank you. Mike, can you help us out on this?
For the record, Mr. Chairman, my name is Mike Scott from the Manifest of Ferguson. In your files, an amendment, and we now have the proper citation with the latest CS amendment to the CSSHB7 finance. And what you have before should read page 2, line 15, that should read page 7, line 21. And the amendment simply, for purposes of construction, the first one would delete the reference to 2810.11.6, and then insert after the number 12 the word only, and then the deletion of 2810.011.6. The purpose of that is to make it clear that the department may issue a vehicle license only upon application by the owner of that vehicle. To talk to what Mr. Brown was saying, this past summer, we had a situation in Kotzebue where DMV was requiring that people do register their vehicles. And 5-6 years ago, Senator Ferguson got an exemption for those vehicles that were not connected to the state highway system. And so this issue came to a head, and we had the deputy commissioner at the time, John Bates, meet with the deputy commissioner at the time, Sitting up for Public Safety, DOT and Public Safety got together. DOT made it expressly clear to them, Public Safety, that in fact communities like Kotzebue were excluded and exempt from vehicle registration. The result of that was Public Safety told us, okay, fine, we'll leave Wolinoff alone, although we're not saying that we in fact agree with DOT, we will not require that licenses be required for vehicles in places like Kotzebue. So now this year, now we see this language in here now, giving the department the authority that they may issue, and so we just want to clarify that the word only be inserted, that a vehicle registration or a vehicle license plate may be issued only upon application by that owner. And so DOT's latest stance is that in fact Senator Ferguson's original amendment does in fact exempt communities like Kotzebue from the vehicle registration requirement.
Those are the ones we're looking at now. That's
right.
Well, what's the reference on this on page 2, line the second change here?
Right. It now should be page 7, line 21.
On
both of them.
On both of line 21?
Yes. And we have a legal opinion from Billy Barrier that during that interim period, we did receive a legal opinion that said, in fact, that Kotzebue was exempt based on the statutory reference, that they were exempt from vehicle registration. And we can get that for you if you'd like.
Okay. Well, this solves the problem. Do you see any problem with these exemptions now? Motor vehicles, do you?
I was unaware of that. To my knowledge, we're still registering vehicles in the Kotzebue and Yakutat so far.
Not in Kotzebue, I know for a fact, because that was the latest word from the Commissioner's Office of Public Safety during the interim, that they would leave well enough alone. They would not register vehicles in Kotzebue, and but they would not admit to the fact that the DOT's opinion that Kotzebue was exempt, that they wanted to, they still do have an office in Kotzebue, but they no longer are registering vehicles, unless the owner, upon their own application, submits it.
Oh, I see. You have an office up there that's not doing anything?
Well,
we're standing in line down here.
Essentially. That's right. That's right.
Could I have a motion on this particular amendment, which maybe we can get that behind us?
Well, I would move we adopt the amendment by Senator Ferguson in the committee draft of the bill, such as it may be.
Any objections? Okay. Thank you, Mike.
And we'll get that opinion first.
Thank you. We appreciate it very much. So we'll...
Under that opinion, then, wouldn't that solve the question you just had?
That's the question. The only question we really have now is if, in fact, he has a valid question, a valid reason to if he's questioning whether or not we're given equal protection, I guess.
I asked that question to Dick Holta prior to, just before you started debating the bill, and he says certainly the question could be raised, but he doesn't, you know, there's an outstanding reason for trying to show a distinction in this one. But I call him back and I ask him if I want to do more research on it.
Hi, Mr. Chairman, if I could put Senator Joseph's position on the equal protection question.
Sit down.
My name is David Donnelly. I'm the aide to Senator Joseph, and he's a sponsor on the Senate side of comparable legislation.
Yes.
Senator Joseph's position, and my position as an attorney also, would be that the distinction here is the whole intent of the bill is to address those vehicles that would be out on the state highway system and the connected highway system. So that given the distinction between actually licensing these vehicles, because under the bill, a license plate would not be issued unless unless there was insurance for the vehicle. An owner could title his vehicle, but not register it, and unless he registered it, he would not receive a license. And without the license, he could not drive the vehicle out into the major urban areas. And I think that avoids the equal protection argument. The distinction between the state system and as it currently is defined, and however the relationship currently exists between those bush communities or Kotzebue and Nome and the rest of the state is a whole separate issue, and I really don't think it plays with equal protection at all.
Thank you. Do you agree, Senator?
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd care to give off the top of my head. Check my E&O policy first.
Thank you. Does anyone else care to speak to this, what we have before us, with any subjective changes or? What we'll do is to have those amendments, as we address, to the Lemon Bill, put into this. And also the suggested the amendment was passed by a committee relative to Senator Ferguson's, which resolves our exemptions out in those areas we were looking at, plus the deletion of Dillingham and Unalaska, which fortunately do not have ferry system.
Well, Unalaska has a ferry system, but it's a small community.
And the amendments suggested by Speaker Hayes' person, Jeff, into what we have here.
Second.
And I would hope that would be what we're trying to get to. We're going to get there all. And a sectional analysis, I think they can pull all the stuff, they something pull out of this, because most of it's already done. As a matter of fact, it's just a matter of getting it in order. And we'll have a committee substitute, rough draft, or a draft of a committee substitute incorporating all these. And as soon as it's ready, we'll have another committee meeting, probably as quickly as tomorrow, and act on it. Unless there's any problems with that procedure.
No.
Thank you very much. Meeting adjourned.